Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the final words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he says, knowing these things beforehand, beware. And so we've been going back through the book and looking at the things that Peter wants us to beware of. And this morning, or this evening, I wanted to take it just a little bit further and think carefully about what Peter said about both of his books and what he wants us to do with them. So he says, beloved, I now write you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Most of us have a Bible. And for many of us, that Bible sits in our home. Maybe it sits by our bedstand. Maybe it sits near the table. But unless it's in our mind, we can't remember it. We can't be mindful of something that's not in our minds. And so when Peter says, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, he is drawing an important conclusion, one that you and I have to consider, and that is, do we remember? We have a Bible with 66 books. And in those 66 books are information about the history of God's people, the history of the creation of the world, the information about falling away of Israel, the information about Jesus' words. And Peter says, you need to remember. You need to be mindful. Not only, look at verse 2. You need to be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. That's a lot of things to remember. That's a lot of things to learn. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So God wants us to learn these things. One of the steps that we need to take in order to be faithful to the Lord and in order to be righteous is to learn these things so that we can call them to mind. Sometimes I know a verse just well enough that I can look up in a concordance and try to find it. Sometimes I can't find it. Today I was struggling with a couple of words. I kept trying because I learned it all in the Old American Standard, and now I'm using the New King James, and so the concordances don't always match up. But my point is, I wouldn't need a concordance if I could remember. If I could remember those verses. I don't need a concordance for Mark 16, 15 and 16. I don't need a concordance for Acts 2:38. And neither do you. These are verses we know. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Or Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's being mindful. That's remembering. And when I say things like that, you're remembering and you're mindful. As Peter says here, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. But what's critical to this is if we haven't taken the time to learn them, if we don't know them, then we can't be reminded of them because we're just hearing them for the first time. Verse 2, you may be mindful of two things. First, those things which were spoken before by the holy prophets. And secondly, of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So what we see here is a couple of two important points. And I wanted to just go back and look at a couple of the words of the prophets. Let's start with Moses. Moses says about his law, and Peter's saying the same thing about Christ's law, but Moses says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. These are important words. We're going to see in a few moments, he said, this is your life. It's not a vain thing. It's not a futile thing for you to learn these things. This is your life. Lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. And bind them as a sign on your hand. What does that mean? A sign on my hand. Well, I need to have the scriptures as well in my mind as I do being able to see my hand. You shall put them as frontlets on or between your eyes. You know, a good example of that would be, you shall not covet your neighbor's possessions. And when I'm looking with my eyes, that needs to be a frontlet that covers everything that I look at to make sure that I don't violate that. And going on, verse 19, you shall teach them to your children. Speaking of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Well, what happens when the children are gone? Do we not talk about them anymore? No, we talk about them with our spouse. We talk about them with people who want to hear. We speak of them when we're sitting in our house, when we're walking in the way, when we're driving in the car, when we're lying down, going to bed, when we're getting up in the morning. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You think that's literal? I think what Moses is saying here is, we have to immerse ourselves in God's word. We have to have it so deeply in our minds that when it's quoted or when it's talked about, oh yeah, I remember that. That's important to me. Verse 21, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. So these are being mindful of the words of the prophets. There's another one that Moses said. This is one of the last things. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to skip through that because we've already talked about it. Let's look at this verse. Moses finished speaking all these words to Israel. This is just before he goes up on Mount Pisgah. This is just before the Lord buries Moses, just before Moses dies. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law, for it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. By this word you shall prolong your days in the land, which you shall cross over the Jordan to possess. So, I want to be mindful of these words. I want to realize and understand that they need to be in the forefront of our minds. When God told the same thing to Moses, we start getting the theme. We start getting the context here. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. You see, the first thing you have to do, you have to observe. It has to be on your hands. It has to be on the frontlets of your eyes. It has to be written on the doorposts of your house. It has to be written on your gates. It needs to be something that we're reminded of. You may observe to do all according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Well, I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm not mindful of it. I'm not going to know which is right, which is left. I'm not going to be able to, when people are preaching God's word. And like the Bereans, we're searching the scriptures. Well, we can't search the scriptures if we don't know what's in the scriptures. And we certainly can't search them if they're not in the forefront of our minds. And we can't go home and think about them unless we're remembering what's being preached. And this requires of us that we be engaged. When a sermon is being preached, and we call that worship, what that means is, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. How close are we to Joshua here? How often do we have large gaps where we're not talking about God's word, or that God's word is not guiding what we are saying? Do not let this word depart from your mouth. You shall meditate it day and night. Once again, you can't meditate on what you don't know. That's why taking notes, that's why memory work, that's why the efforts that we put into a ready recollection, as we say when we talk about people's prayers, but we need to have a ready recollection of the scriptures. They shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on them day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, keeping these three things in mind, these words of Moses, and these two scriptures of Moses, and one of Joshua, and I could have found others. But let's go back to Peter now, and let's see how he ties all this together. He said, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle. in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandments of us, the apostles. Verse 3, knowing this first, scoffers will come in the last days. This they willfully forget. But, beloved, do not forget. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. So here we have the mindset of a Christian. Here we have the attitude. Right now we're here, we're worshiping God, we're talking about Scripture, but what about tomorrow morning when you get up? And what about when you're driving to work? And what about when you're engaged in conversations with people at work? And what about when we're watching television? And what about when we're, in other words, our lives are complex and we are moving from thing to thing to thing. But in this respect, you remember something that the psalmist said, I will put no unclean thing before my eyes. And so we have to use the Scriptures. If we see something we shouldn't be seeing, we look away. But again, we can't turn to the right or to the left. We can't know which way we should go if it's not in our hearts. So I'm stirring you up by way of reminder. So look at those words at the bottom. Always aware. Always watching. Always concerned. Never forgetting. Knowing beforehand. And beware or watching for. Like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. We do that? How would we do that? Well, we're like the Bereans. And of course, every time a sermon is preached, every time a class is taught, we've got our own Bibles. We've got our own ability to assess what's being preached. And we have the ability to try to figure out, is this guy a wolf in sheep's clothing? Now, the sad thing is, as Paul points out to the elders at Ephesus, the shift can occur in the people that you trust. And we're seeing a lot of this in the different congregations throughout the land today. People who were always pointing to the Scriptures are now, as you look at their compass, you're going, I wonder what are they using now? And they're slowly turning from sheep into wolves. And Paul says, men from among your own selves will arise. Even these trusted elders, even these elders that Paul is speaking so highly about. He says, there's going to be some of you. It's just too important, brethren. We're talking about eternal salvation versus eternal loss. So we need to be engaged. And that's Peter's point. Again, I'm not trying to manufacture out of the Scripture something that's not there. I'm just trying to point out to us that Moses said, these things need to be on your hands, they need to be in frontlets of your eyes, they need to be on your gates, they need to be on your doorposts. You need to be talking about them when you're walking in the way, when you're sitting down, when you're rising up, when you're with your children, when you're with people. He told Joshua, don't let this word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And what does he say in verse 2? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what would you call verse 1? I'm stirring you up by way of reminder. Knowing this first. Well, let's look at another verse. This is in chapter 1. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Now, let's just stop right there. I didn't put 1 through 11. What are the things he wants us to never forget? What are the things he wants us to always be remembering? Though you know that and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right. As long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Now, if Peter thought it was right as long as he was in his tent, or in other words, as long as he was in the world, which he's no longer in the world, but as long as he was here, isn't that something we should be doing? Isn't that something that we should be thinking about, stirring up by reminding you? Verse 5, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. After my decease. That's what Moses told Israel. That's what God told Joshua. When Joshua ended his life, remember, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So why is it so important? Well, let's look at the verse before. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the reason is because it's essential. It's critical. If you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, an entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you. You know, you buy a ticket to go somewhere. Maybe the ticket's expensive. You know, to go to a football game these days, I don't know. I've not been to one, but I suspect it's in the hundreds of dollars if you want a nice seat. And once you get that ticket and you go to the gate, you're very confident. I paid the money and I have the ticket and they let you in. Well, what's he saying here? An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To have that ticket, shall we call it? To have that knowledge. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Those are the people who will be abundantly supplied with the entrance. For the rest of them, Jesus says, depart, I never knew you. You practice lawlessness. So Peter's talking about it. Of course, we know what he's talking about because I've preached on this so many times. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. For if these things are yours, you won't be idle. You won't be unfruitful. If you lack these things, you'll be blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from your old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And verse 12, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. It's interesting that Peter feels like he would be negligent. He would not be fulfilling his role as an apostle if he wasn't reminding. And that's why, as an evangelist, I won't be negligent either. If Peter wasn't going to be negligent by reminding them of those things, then you and I don't want to be negligent either. We want to remind our children of these things. We want to remind our brethren. We want to remind our husbands and our wives. We want to be talking about these things. And reminding each other. And again, why is it so important to remember? We didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Why do we need to remember this? Because it's confirmed. This is absolute truth. If you do those seven things that Peter said you should add to your faith, and your entrance into the eternal kingdom is abundantly supplied, it's fixed. We didn't follow cunningly devised fables. I'm not telling you things that are not true. That's why I want to remind you of these things. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses. Verse 17, he received from God the Father honor and glory. Well, let's remind ourselves of this scene that we remember, the transfiguration, and they're with Jesus, and suddenly his face starts to shine like the sun, and his garments begin to glow and they become white, such as no fuller or no person can dye and make them that bright. And then suddenly here comes Moses and Elijah in glory. Jesus is in glory. They're in glory. They're talking to each other. Peter makes the foolish statement. Let's make three tabernacles. Jesus, we understand now. You are as great as Moses and Elijah. Let's make three tabernacles. One for you, one for them. God says, this is my beloved Son. There's no comparison between Jesus and Moses and Elijah. He is far, far superior. Peter, you got it wrong. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the Holy Mount. I like to remember this. This is something that is so powerful. It's something that is so awe-inspiring. Something that, as we meditate on it, gives us this assurance. So, Peter continues on. And I'm not going to read this thing again. I just wanted you to look now at verse 3. Knowing this first, why do we need to have our pure minds in reminder? Why do we have to be mindful of the words that were spoken before? Because scoffers. When scoffers come, there's things we need to remember. Well, I'm just going to throw this up here so you can look at it real quickly as we're going through. Atheists will scoff at our belief in God. And they're rude. They're awful about it. They scoff. You poor thing, you are so foolish. You are just believing myths that aren't true. It hurts sometimes. But if we're mindful of what the scriptures say, for example, Psalms, which says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I spend a lot of time on that. Every time I get up in the morning, I go out to pray and I look at the beautiful things around and I think to myself, God, you made all these things. If he didn't make all these things, they wouldn't be here. They're just too complex. The evolutionist is the one that should be scoffed at. I'm sorry, the atheist or the evolutionist, for that matter, they're the ones that believe something that... But they're going to scoff at our belief in a seven-day creation. And if we're not mindful of the words of the prophets, they might wound us. We have to put on the armor of God so that we can stand. The denominations will scoff at a stand that there's only one true church, which Jesus makes very clear, I will build my church. I'm mindful of that. I'm mindful that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ, and he has given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his bodies, right? No, not his bodies, his body. Our stand on baptism, our convictions about the inspiration of the scripture, that scripture is the unerring word of God and that we are convicted and we will not be moved away from it no matter how much scoffing there is. Our convictions on the simple worship on the first day of the week. We understand that a lot of people who come into here are hearing a cappella singing and hearing a sermon that is directly from the scriptures. It's not what they were expecting. And sometimes they'll walk out of the building shaking their heads, letting you know. Sometimes they don't even stay. I've been preaching here before and I've had them just get up and walk out. And I know why they walked out. What Jesus said about divorce. What Paul said about women. What the scriptures teach about homosexuality, gambling, drinking, dancing, immodesty, entertainment. You know, when we talk about our convictions, we're going to get scoffed at. What else can they do? They can't say, oh, you're right, we're so sorry. They have to scoff. Because otherwise, it's going to prick their heart. So, we understand. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when men persecute you and men speak evil of you, when they cast out your name as evil, when they revile you, when they don't want you to be around them, when they treat you like an outcast or someone who's not worthy to be around. Now, Peter says, let's go back now, let me pull this back up, and let's look at what he said again. You need to be mindful because scoffers are coming. I talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. We talked about peer pressure. The people at work want to be our peers. But they're not going to be my peers. My peers are in the scriptures. My peers are Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He's my peer. He's one of those great cloud of witnesses. He's the guy I'm looking to. I don't care about these people all around me because they don't matter. They're not important. You say, well, that's not a very nice thing to say. Well, what else can we say when people are scoffing at our core convictions? We're going to say, oh, these people are so important to me. I need to bend and compromise so I can get along with them. No. No. We have to decide these people aren't important. And what they say isn't important. What's important is what God said to Moses, what God said to Joshua, what Peter said. We are mindful of the words of the apostles. We are mindful of the words of the prophets. And they have become our peers. I feel closer to David. I feel closer to Daniel. I feel closer to Jesus or to Peter or to Paul than any of the people in the world today. And that's the only way we can get through this, brethren, because as the chasm gets wider and wider, as the chasm between what the scriptures are teaching and what people are actually practicing today. And when we start verbalizing our convictions about scripture, you just mark it down. They're going to laugh. They're going to scoff. And they might do even more than laughing and scoffing. So we need to realize that. And so Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to remind you always. And I think it right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. I really appreciate that about Peter. John said something similar. He said, we are of God. He who hears us knows God. He who does not hear us does not know God. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's helpful to me. I don't like to stand against people. I'm not arrogant enough to think, well, you're the one that's right, and they're the ones that are wrong. But like David was saying the other night, it's in the book. It's not what I think. It's what God said. And we don't have any choice if we're going to be a Christian. If we're going to be a servant of God, remember Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it will be health, he goes on to say after that. It will be healthy for you. So when the scriptures start replacing our mother and father, remember what Jesus said about that? He that loveth father or mother more than me. So what am I going to say? My parents are not important. I had to say that for a while. My parents didn't like the decision that I made to become a Christian. They didn't like some of the new ways that I looked at things. And I had two choices. I could feel their scoffing and their mocking, and I could say, oh my, I need to come back to you. Or, like Jesus said, if any man comes after me and doesn't hate his mother, his father, his brothers, his sisters, and his own life, he can't be my disciple. Jesus said, don't think I came to be a priest on the earth. Now, we just talked a little bit about Christmas last week and how people have perverted it into something that it doesn't exist. But Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Well, that wasn't his intent, but that was the consequence. Jesus came to say this. If you abide in my words, you are my disciple indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, but if I abide in his words, I'm going to get scoffed at. I'm going to get mocked at. Sometimes by my own family members. Sometimes by my coworkers. Sometimes by my neighbors. Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you of this. Because, listen up, if we're not being influenced by this, then we're being influenced by all that's going on around us. You can't escape it. You know, we are not originalists. I used to laugh years ago when you'd see these people in the schools, these kids, and they were going to be nonconformists, but all the nonconformists were in conformity with each other. It just makes me laugh to think about it. They're all going to have long hair, or they're all going to wear this kind of clothes, or they're all, in other words, they're all in lockstep, even though we are not, we're not going to be like everyone else, and yet there they are. So if we don't make the decision to be mindful, to make the men and women in this book our friends, our peers, our people that we look up to and that influence us, what else do we have? Well, we have people of this world. I think it's right, Peter says, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. And I'm going to be careful. That's what this book is in here for. I'm going to be careful. Everything I've done is so that I can be careful, so that after I'm gone, you will always have a reminder of these things. Well, Peter had been dead for what? Almost 2,000 years. But I'm going to make sure that his words are not forgotten. Because Peter is one of my peers, and so is Paul. And I trust them a whole lot more than any preacher or any teacher or anyone in the world today. They're going to be the people, my cloud of witnesses, the people I want to live up to, the people I want to look to with respect and have them look to me with respect. And I know what I need to do to accomplish that. Jesus is our brother. And God determined back in eternity that those people he wanted would be those who would conform themselves to the image of his son. Well, I can't know anything about the image of his son if I don't have full respect for the apostles and prophets, whom Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide into all truth, that he would teach them all things, he would bring to their remembrance everything that he said. It's a package, folks. It's a package that we have to accept. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful, or we can willfully forget. So, which category do we find ourselves in tonight? Are we this kind of people? Are our peers the prophets? Remember how James put it? Think about the prophets and the patience they had. He's using them. I feel closer to Jeremiah. I feel closer to Isaiah. I feel closer to Daniel than anybody who's alive today. Because there are examples. There are a cloud of witnesses. And they can't just be in a book. And they can't just be sitting on a shelf. We have to make these people alive. And we can't do that unless we, what did Moses say? Signposts on your hands. Frontlets for your eyes. On your doorposts. On your gates. Being mindful. It's not a futile thing, Moses said. It's your life. And that's what he told Joshua. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And so, brethren, as we conclude this lesson this evening, I hope that every one of us here is saying a good hearty amen. Yeah, I agree, Alan. Those are my peers. I believe every word in the Scriptures. And they can scoff and they can mock all they want. But the Holy Spirit guided them into all truth. I'm not going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say Paul didn't know what he was talking about. I'm not going to say that verse. I don't believe that verse. You can't say that. You can't parcel out the Scriptures. It's all or nothing. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. And so maybe you find yourself here this evening touched by this lesson. Maybe there's something in the lesson here that really pricked you. Now that we're getting ready to sing the song of invitation, I'd like you to think a little bit about these things and what they are. Whether they're you, or whether you'd like them to be you, or whether there's going to be some efforts to make that you. And if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, obedience to the gospel is very simple. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. So we hear the word of God, we believe it, we repent, we confess, and we're baptized. If we can help you in any way, we would invite you now to come while we together stand and sing.